Next on Plains FM, we have Movie Talk, a program for all things cinema-esque, for the discerning film and video junkie.
Welcome again to Movie Talk. Today we'll be looking at Jennifer Lopez as a very ambitious woman in Second Act, an elderly woman who goes on a solo road trip in her motorized wheelchair in Rose, and the ultimate superhero satire, Once Upon a Deadpool.
Every manager at our company has a college degree.
The only thing stopping you is you.
Do you ever look at your life? Wonder how you got there. If you made different choices, would you be happier?
Arthur got his MBA from Duke. He's the best man for the job.
No, sir. I am. I just wish we lived in a world where street smarts equal book smarts.
Screw them.
Who? The educated people in their fancy houses who name their kids after fruit and climb Kilimanjaro.
Somebody call for you. Something about a job interview?
Oh my God, Franklin and Clark?
Your resume interests me. Wharton Business School.
I'm sorry, what?
And of course, you have got to see her Facebook page.
My Facebook page?
Obama?
I gave you a completely new identity. You said you wanted to be fancy, so I just like Cinderella dress.
I got you in the door.
But you got the job, baby.
Who's the champ? Let's go. Who's the champ?
I'm the champ?
You're the champ. Yeah, come on. Stop talking.
It's not easy getting a job for a woman your age.
Watch me.
In Second Act, Jennifer Lopez plays a 40-year-old woman who is struggling with frustrations stemming from her unfulfilled dreams, mainly in the world of big business on Madison Avenue. Mary Gibson's been off to the Hollywood cinemas at Sumner to see this multi-level comedy drama. Mary, secrets and lies, relationships and careers all play a part in this film. What did you think of Second Act?
Look, I thought it was pretty good. For me, you know, it's sort of typically Jennifer Lopez. I personally don't rate her high on the acting scale. She's fine. She's easy to watch. But it's a sort of a typical storyline that she follows, in so much as it reminds me a bit of Made in Manhattan and those kinds of movies that she's in. So, look, absolutely nothing wrong with it. Really enjoyable and quite kind of predictable in terms of the outcomes and the way the story flows. You know, girl from the wrong side of the tracks, she's supposedly from Queens. Jennifer herself is from the Bronx, so that's right next door.
Yeah.
So she, you know, she plays that part well you know, who is very good at what she does in a small city store, but has aspirations to do better and, of course, keeps getting knocked down because she doesn't have the required Harvard education or whatever's needed. And so she sets out to prove that you don't need to have that education to do well, because she's clearly got the smarts, you know, and that comes across in this. And then there's this underlying other piece of the story about not being quite truthful about her past, setting up a fake Facebook page and fake qualifications and so on and that kind of thing. So there's a bit of lying that goes on. And, of course, when you put yourself in that position, you change as a person as well. So, you know, does she leave behind the people that she was working with and very friendly with in her previous job to move into this environment? It kind of reminds me also of, you know, The Devil Wears Prada, where that, you know, someone it's that kind of feel in that.
It's the same sort of world, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Somebody from the wrong side of the tracks who moves into, you know, upper echelons, you know, and doesn't necessarily mean that those people in the upper echelons are typically nice. There's always a schemer, and was a schemer in this. And you know, so it's that kind of really, really typical storyline in that. But again, as I said, quite enjoyable, nice little story. Vanessa Hudgens, who plays Zoe, she's really good in it. The guy who plays Trey, I've never seen him in anything before. unpronounceable surname, and he's good as well. So it's got a nice cast in it, you know, and it does come together as a storyline. So it's kind of like, you know, you're not disappointed. You come away from it thinking, oh, that was really nice. Nice outcome. Mm. Good ending. Like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they tie in quite a lot of subplots. There's her relationship with a boyfriend and who is this going to lead on to marriage because he would like to have kids by her and why doesn't she want children? Of course, all of this is explained into quite a deep subplot in the whole thing. You get, you know, there's quite a few of these sort of things tossed into the film as well. But I mean, and also about those secrets in her life. Well, this is somebody else as a birthday wish, basically, had put out her background information on false information about her, you know, third, her Harvard or somewhere education and degrees, which she does not have. Even the fact that she can speak the Mandarin language.
Actually, that is a really, really good part of the movie. Yeah. I loved that. Yeah. It is so, I mean, I've seen it done before, you know, in other movies, but I really liked it in this one. It was very clever. Yeah. And the fact that the guy who spoke Mandarin was a vet and
over the telephone trying to help her over
and examining a patient as in dog at the same time as he's having a conversation with someone out to dinner. You know, it's really funny and it has that typical sort of feel to it that you've seen before. But again, it's played across, comes across really well and played out really well. And I think that's what I'm meaning. You know, there are some really, you know, some good moments, a bit lighthearted comedy and pieces we've seen before, but that you don't go, oh God, seen that before. You think, oh yeah, that's quite clever, you know. So I think that that's part of the charm of this movie, that it does do a lot of, you know, that kind of really well-known storyline very well.
Hmm. And the film also has got a lovely touch of New York itself in it. You know, most of it's set in the Manhattan business area, but you get a lot of aerial shots, well, which we've all seen in many other films before, but somehow they're all such lovely shots in this, and they seem to add something to the, well, the background, the feeling, the atmosphere of the film, and it sort of, you know, it came through to me as to help me, well, I enjoyed that aspect of it all, so funnily enough.
Yeah, that was quite interesting because, you know, I've been to New York quite a lot, and I've never seen the streets that empty, you know, that's for sure, that you can actually have that kind of interaction on the streets because it's a very, very busy city. But, yeah, it did come across as really nice, and especially the shots, you know, on the Hudson River and so on, and sitting beside the riverbank and walking in the park and that kind of thing. You think, oh, yeah, that's really cool. New York's a cool place to visit. But we both know it's a heck of a lot busier than it came across in the movie. And I think that, you know, there is something about setting a film in New York as well. It does bring an extra edge, doesn't it, in terms of location and just that sense of, wow, this is really cool. I'd like to do that.
And that mixture of people that you can toss in if you want to. Any kind of people can pop up anywhere at any time and that sort of thing. Yeah. Oh, well, anyway, it's light, good fun, and it's got quite a deep message there too that, you know, if you've got any ambitions or anything, then there's no reason why you can't go ahead and get what you want.
Well, and also that other little subplot in behind there, that other little storyline is really, really nice as well. And that, you know, we won't mention what it is, but it's, you know, played by Vanessa Hudgens' role. Ah. And just the way that that comes together too, I think is really important.
That's an important part, Okay, well, thank you, Mary. That was Mary Gibson with her views on Second Act, and I'm Hans Petrovic on Movie Talk on Plains FM 96.9. I'd like to thank the sponsor of the show, the Harcourt's Grenadier Accommodation Centre, which is now located at 98 Morehouse Avenue. If you're looking for a place to live, check out Harcourt's Accommodation Centre website, www.assetmanagers.co.nz. That address again, www.assetmanagers.co.nz.
I'm going on a road trip.
In your wheelchair?
Since my husband died, I've been like a ghost.
On a road trip? That's scary.
It's scarier to stay here.
I just don't get what
she's trying to prove. Hey there, you want a ride?
I think this road trip is her way of giving the finger to loneliness.
Give me the purse.
Step back against the car, Sonny.
Rose is a multi-level drama about a widowed woman who discovers she may have a life-threatening illness and decides to go on a road trip in her wheelchair. Ian Cumming has been off to the Hollywood cinemas at Sumner to see this rather deep movie, which asks the profound question, what do you do with your life when there isn't much of it left? Ian, how did Rose affect you?
Well, the first thing in the film, the opening sequence, affected me because it was backed with a fantastic country music song. Yeah. It's an aerial shot of a vehicle driving down the road in the country there. And so I thought, I'm going to stay right to the end to see all the credits and find out what the song was. But it's sort of mixed up with all the other songs.
You still don't know. You'll have to see it.
Anyway, so this film actually is called... in America, called Being Rose, because there are two other Rose films, one in 1993 and one in 2012.
I was a bit puzzled about that too.
Yeah. Anyway, so as you mentioned, it's a road trip, and it's a road trip which is going to end in something of a sad way.
Yeah, I think this. I mean, when you think about it, there are many positive, very positive and fun moments in this film, and all sorts of surprises in it. It's got one unfortunate negative thing about it is you know that you feel it deep within yourself that this film is going to come to an unhappy ending. And this sort of drags you down a little bit, I think. You know? Whereas as it goes along, it's always an interesting film.
Yeah. Well, actually, it brought back memories of The Straight Story, where a chap took his lawnmower from, across several states. This is a film going back quite a few years. And she's travelling at the same speed in her electric wheelchair, which looks like a carriage or something. She's got this sort of curtains hanging over the top of it. In the other two films, Girls' Night and Beaches, which end in sadness, which end in the death of people. And so there's another similarity there. And indeed, in Girls' Night, one of them meets a rancher in America. So
I mean, the fascinating touches to it. She's going along there, traveling through New Mexico mainly, and she comes across this sort of old cowboy fellow played by James Brolin. You say, hang on, I know that name, Brolin.
Josh's dad.
Yeah, he's the father of Josh Brolin playing this. So he's quite elderly. Actually, the woman playing Rose, that's Sybil Shepherd. She's 57 when she made that, so she's not really that terribly old. She's a bit on the sick side.
Yeah, and as the lead actress in it. But she put her money where her mouth is because she was the executive producer, which means she found the money. Uh-huh. It's a low budget indie film. You can tell that. You
know? Oh yes.
But there's Sybil Shepherd, The Last Picture Show, Taxi Driver, which started her career, and then James Brolin, you mentioned, and he's 78 now, and he's been making films since he was 19.
Good heavens!
Stuff like Traffic, Catch Me If You Can, and he was in West Wing on TV. They're very good. They're very good. The acting is very good there, but I can't say the same for the chap who plays her son, a chap called Eric Fellows, whose work has mainly been in television. But I never thought he's the disaffected son. And
it's not an easy part. He's a despondent, angry, sort of unforgiving young man who's telling everybody to go to hell, and including his mother. So that's another one of the worries that this woman's carrying with her as she's travelling around. And she gets these other characters. You wonder why it's... also, she's an ex-policewoman, which is a point that comes up a couple of times.
With a nice surprise, actually.
That's a main surprise because early in the film she's travelling along and she asks some fellow along the road for some information or something, and he turns out to be a thief who wants to rob her of her things. And somehow, we won't tell you how, but she manages to get out of this. And being an ex-cop helps a bit. And then later on she meets him again on a bus and he tries the same thing on her and she does the same thing to to him again.
You think he'd
so,
get,
you know, you get these sort of surprises.
You get the message, yeah. So it was written and directed by a chap called Rod McCall, who's only made four films in 94, 95, 09 and 15. So he hasn't been excessively busy. But I think the film's a bit of a mess. He goes to flashbacks in black and white. And it's
quite,
very
yeah.
jarring. It's not the music becomes, I talked about the opening song, but it becomes, I don't know, sort of syrupy and unsubtle.
Lots of the country and western touches.
Yes, I know. I think it's a pretty enjoyable sort of a film. It's not going to stick in your memory forever.
No, but it's actually quite a deep little film. It's just, be warned, you know. It doesn't have a happy ending.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to, it's only on at Akaroa, and as we speak, once every day for over the next week or so.
On its last day at the Hollywood.
Well, I think it's closed there now.
Oh,
yes,
is it?
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah. So it's only on at Akaroa. Anyway, so a little holiday treat, perhaps.
Okay, good. Thank you, Ian. That was Ian Cumming helping me with Rose, and I'm Hans Petrovic on Movie Talk on Plains FM 96.9.
Why am I here?
You're in a PG-13 version of Deadpool.
Filtered
through the prism of childlike innocence.
I'm a grown man.
And nobody
man.
Does childlike innocence like you, Fred. Nobody. I need you almost as much as you need me.
I don't need you at all.
You need me to untie you once we're done.
Once Upon a Deadpool turns out to be an offbeat satire that has a dig at virtually everything in Hollywood, particularly superhero movies. Carolyn Brown's been off to the Reading Cinemas at the Palms to see this remake of Deadpool 2. Carolyn's film is described as a family-friendly version of Deadpool 2. Would you say this is a correct description of Once Upon a Deadpool?
I think my family would hate me because I'd say, no, they're not allowed to go see it. Too young.
Why not?
I mean, it's very heavily edited. They have taken out most of the swear words that they have to, and the violence as well.
Yeah, sort of taking the hard-hitting
aspect. There's an awful lot of editing being done on this film. But I still think it has adult themes in it that 13-year-olds are much more advanced these days. But I noticed that when I was laughing at some of the adult themes in it, the other children that were in the theatre weren't.
Yeah.
So whether they didn't think it was funny or they didn't get it, because there's a lot of fan stuff in this that unless you like Marvel, you're not going to get.
Yeah. this is it. I mean, they've been advertising it as a family-friendly fairy tale or something. Well, I mean, even the posters for it, sometimes they've got somebody sitting on a reindeer in it. Well,
yes, there's no Christmas in
it. No, there isn't. So this is false advertising.
It is, but
as family film, which to me still is, because the humour is still adult satire.
It is, but it's got the same rating as Venom, the other Marvel film that came out this year.
Yeah.
So they do. It is able to go out. It is able to be screened on TV.
It is family friendly in the sense that they have, as you say, cut back the bad language.
But I just think the satire is, they're not going to get it unless their parents have been fans of The Princess Bride. Then they're going to wonder who on earth Fred Savage is and what. Why is he tied to a bed in a room wearing? Yeah, they're not going to get that unless.
Well, I think you'd better explain this now. who's Fred Savage and who's the Princess Bride?
Fred Savage is actually now a well-known director of TV shows, but back in 1984, 82, he was a child actor, and he appears in this film called The Princess Bride, in which it's narrated. He's part of the narration. It's told to
him. Yeah, well, he's a young boy then.
He's a young boy, and that just ages everybody.
And his grandfather is reading him a story
and
out of a book.
He's probably long dead.
And this is turned into a film there.
Yes,
and
it
this
is.
Time you've got the adult
Fred
Savage, in bed, tied down in bed, with Ryan
Reynolds
sitting next to him, reading him reading him the story of Deadpool 2, which we've already seen.
Laughing about it. It is a great concept, and it's very, very cleverly done. But as I said, unless you actually know The Princess Bride and you know Marvel and the dialogue between the two of them, you're not going to really get, because there's a lot of in-jokes into it, and it's just really funny. If you are, I found it hilarious.
Yeah, well, this is it to me. It, it, I... I thought this was funnier than the original Deadpool.
Because it didn't have as much violence in it.
Oh, that also. I mean, I've got... let's talk about that. I mean, in this one, they still had these fast, long action scenes and
they
all
did,
this. But they've taken some of the hard-hitting aspects
out. There's no blood and gore, which was this sort
of
thing. One.
And in this one, and usually I can only take so much of all these long car chases, which sometimes now sometimes go on for 20 minutes or something, or seem to. But they've cut this all back. But I thought they were funny. I enjoyed these action scenes, these violent scenes this time. And I just consider them, they were silly, but they were funny this time. But in the sense that they've just cut that hard, heavy edge out of them.
And the other criticisms of it is that they've cut out the backstory. So unless you've seen Deadpool 1, you don't understand why Deadpool is the way he is, because they've cut that out. They've gone straight into the storyline. It's still got all the really funny bits with a Kiwi actor in it, James Dennison?
Julian Dennison. He was in Hunt for the Wilder People.
And I hope he got paid twice.
I'm sure they would have to understand.
Yeah, so they've still got that story and they've still got everything. They've kept all the main plot lines and everything. They've just taken out the violence. The swearing has been bleeped or admitted in places. And there is a very childish scene where he uses his bleeper and the guy, Fred's saying another F word.
Yeah,
but you can quite clearly tell. Yeah, it's a play.
This is quite funny to see Ryan Reynolds in the film with a bleeper in his hand. When somebody else swears, he just pushes
a button. Deadpool is so well known for breaking the fourth wall and talking to the audience and playing on the fact that Ryan Reynolds he's playing a part. He's not Deadpool, and there's lots of funny little things in that still make you laugh. And so if you find that annoying, that when a film breaks the wall and talks to you as the audience, then you're not going to enjoy this film at all.
But I mean, I just took it as a satire of, well, particularly the superhero films they're making.
DC, Marvel,
I mean, this film mocks the difference between Disney's take on the Marvel universe and also what the Fox Studios are making. They're the ones that make the X-Men and the Deadpool films. And then he sort of compares the two.
Yeah.
Then there's I wouldn't call it political, but other digs at different things. Somebody has a dig at Canada in it, and you wonder, why are they doing this? It's an American film digging. But it's because Ryan Reynolds is Canadian. Yeah.
There is some extra footage in it that I found out, because I couldn't quite remember what I had seen and what I hadn't seen before, other than the Fred Savage stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a scene when the X-Men mention that you haven't seen before. That's quite funny.
Yeah. What is that? Do you know?
So it's a scene, he becomes domesticated. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
Where he's in the kitchen.
Well, in this one also you've got... there's one scene that they're using this time. This is one of the baddies in it is the headmaster of the boy played by Julian Dennison. And he's a nasty old fellow. And in this one, you get him, he goes out shouting out to the boy about something. But this echoes the racist chants out of Charlottesville. A year ago, these sort of, hating the
they did
other
try
peoples
to make this,
and all this sort of a thing. And that was originally in the first film, but it was cut out. It was made for the first film, then cut out, and they included
put it
a
back
bit.
In.
Maybe
they needed
because
to make
it
up
echoed.
Some time because of all the violence they cut out. another wee thing that I do mention, that if you're going to go see it, stay to the very, very end, because I thought that we had seen the last of the credits and we left and we missed a very moving tribute to Stan Lee, which is after the after credits.
I didn't see that. Yeah.
No, so, we left too
so
early.
When you say tribute to Stan Lee, now he is the fellow who created
the Marvel Universe
in the first place. Yeah. And he's actually included himself in this. Does he have
anything
to say?
It's an interview that they did with him, and it's very poignant. And do stay until the end of the credits. Otherwise, you'll have to go look for it on the internet.
Or see the whole film again.
Yeah, or see the whole film again, which I thought I was going to have to do for a minute, because I just read all these things talking about it and couldn't actually find the video of it. And I was like, I'm going to have to go see the film again.
Well, I know one person, she told me that she loved the original Deadpool films.
Yeah.
And she's actually thinking of seeing Deadpool 2 again, but now she's seen this one instead, and that fills that for her.
No, you don't have to. Yeah, you don't have to. You just see it for this.
Yep. Okay, well, thank you very much.
No worries.
That was Carolyn Brown with her views on Once Upon a Deadpool. And I'm Hans Petrovic on Movie Talk on Plains FM 96.9, saying goodbye until midday next Wednesday.